All right, we have an agenda before us for a regular city council meeting on April 8th, 2014, Tuesday. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Erby?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Mayor Johnson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
All right, very good. Councilmember Hanson, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to the approval of the agenda, which includes the consent agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Made by Councilmember Combs and seconded by Councilmember Carrington to approve the consent agenda and the regular agenda. Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to ask Council's permission to move the city manager search under unfinished business J1 to right after audience participation, so it'd be like a G1.
I'll second, Your Honor.
All right. So we have primary amendment number one to move item J. One to become the new H1, and then the subsequent changes to the agenda as necessary. All right, I've made that by Councilmember Best, seconded by Councilmember DeVries to make that change. Any discussion? All those in favor of primary amendment number one to move J1 to the new, become the new H1. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, that brings us to the main motion as amended. The approval of the consent agenda and regular agenda as amended. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we've approved the agenda. Madam Clerk, would you read the consent agenda, consent agenda into the record. Thank you.
Introduction of ordinance number 14004, amending Palmer Municipal Code section 2.20.025, Planning and Zoning Commission Compensation. Introduction of ordinance number 14-005, amending Palmer Municipal Code section 2.25.040, Airport Advisory Commission Compensation. Introduction of ordinance number 14-008, amending portions of the Palmer Municipal Code Board of Economic Development Compensation. 2.30.040, Board of Economic Development Compensation. Introduction of ordinance number 14-012, amending Palmer Municipal Code 3.12.030, providing for the standards for determining eligibility for senior citizen and disabled veteran tax exemptions, and enacting Palmer Municipal Code 3.12.032, residential real property exemption, providing for an optional property tax exemption for residents 65 years of age or older, disabled veterans, or qualified widow or widower spouse. Introduction of ordinance number 14-013, enacting Palmer Municipal Code Chapter 9.95, Sales of Synthetic Drugs Illegal, and Action Memorandum 14-032, authorize a donation to the Palmer Arts Council for the Who Let the Girls Out event in the amount of $1,000. Madam Mayor, the ordinances will receive a public hearing on April 22nd.
All right, very good. We have that agenda has been motioned and approved. So moving on to minutes of previous meetings, that brings us to March 25, 2014 special meeting and minutes from March 25, 2014 regular meeting. Do we have a motion to approve minutes of previous meetings?
Second.
All right, any discussion? All those in favor of approval of the minutes of previous meetings, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we approved the minutes from the previous meetings of March 25th. And that brings us to communications and appearance requests. Tom Healy, Director, City of Palmer Department of Public Works.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, council members. I thought I'd just go over briefly the kind of the projects list. This is, I thought I'd use the projects report that starts on page 56 of your packet. This gives a kind of a thumbnail status on the projects that are underway and pending. Southwest Utility Extension Phase 2A, that has been awarded, and they're going to start, they're obtaining materials at this point. They're waiting till June 1st or so to get into the ground and start underground construction. There's a action, I believe it's on tonight's agenda, having to do with the MEA line extension to serve this project. So that's related to this project. Sherwood Area Water and Street Improvements Phase 1, that's essentially complete. That's a work that Prosser Dagg did last year on Auklet. That we'll see in segueing into the Sherwood Area Water and Street Improvements Phase 2. Auklet will see street improvements under that project. The Phase 2 is out to bid. The bid opening date is scheduled for April 24th, so we're looking forward to getting the bids on that. That will be before you on the meeting of May 13th for the bid award. As sort of just a related matter, we did receive notification of the $3 million DEC grant that the city has obtained. We'll need to arrange a loan to cover, to add 30% to that. That money is not for this phase two, but will be for phase three and four in subsequent years. Bogart Road Waterline Extension, this was the design and construction of this has basically been turned over to the borough project to And we will reimburse them for expenses. I believe they're going to bid on that project fairly soon. I was at the borough meeting the other night, and they were indicating, I think they're going to bid either this week or next. We're monitoring the water main design under that project. I think what the borough's intention to do is to this first year to do kind of utility work and relocations on the what they call the urban section, which is from Glen Highway to the high school, basically just past the high school, to do all the underground work in that section. Plus, they've already done the clearing and grubbing on the rest of it out to 49th State Street, but they'll do some earth moving on that section this year, and then next year come back and finish up the street improvements and lighting and complete the project. I did see there was money in the state capital budget, I think, another $5 million or so for that project. One of the issues,
Tom, we had some drainage issues up there a few years ago with some, there's some horses up there in the, on the north of the roads, and seems to me that, do you recollect what the resolution was? It seems to me that we agreed to accept some maintenance of that road in exchange for some drainage improvements to the east, from the north to the east.
What is, that issue I believe is the fields up around Scott Road in the spring, and it varies from year to year how much flows out of that area, but But I've, since it goes right by my house, I've monitored over the years, and some years it can be a lot of water coming down the Anna Street under the culvert, then it dumps out over by the pool road and continues on down the hill. We had pursued a plan to have this project intercept that right there at the pool road intersection and install a storm drain system east to connect to the existing storm drain system on this side of the Glen Highway. They didn't, that is the borough, because it's a borough project, they didn't agree to do that because they thought it was out of the scope of the project and it was too expensive or something. But anyway, that didn't happen. What they have designed is a culvert, pretty much where the existing culvert is there by the pool road, and then they've got a detention pond that they're going to build. As you go into the pool road right to your right, there's sort of a low area. So they're going to build a detention pond in there, which we think on a bad year is not going to hold all the flow, but there is an overflow on that, and they have culverts, so it'll carry on down to where it's always gone, which is down in that low area by the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. I think they've designed, as part of the Felton project too, there's another larger detention area there before you get to the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. If you go down the kind of, it's an easement that goes down from the pool road straight towards the Palmer-Wasilla. So that's kind of what the plan is for that spring flow. So
we've got band-aid at the
moment. Well, I think they're building places for it to go in putting in at least one of these detention ponds. We'll see how it works. So, okay. One of the issues with this Bogart Road project is that the improvements designed for the urban section from the Glen to just past the high school are a pretty significant design change for that road. It's involving center medians, lots of street lights, additional striping, etc. And so when we were first looking at the plans, we were thinking that the maintenance responsibility for that road is going to be much more than it is now. I got to looking a little further into it and discovered that the city limit, actually, the city boundary runs, if you imagine going along Arctic towards the high school, and that pathway to your, would be to your left if you're going to the high school, is in the city. Then there's a property line kind of in the ditch line, and then the street actually is in the borough. So we've been maintaining it all these years. Now, when you get down to Valley Trails, you're back into the city on the street. So one thing we did was to talk with the borough about coming up with some memorandum of agreement for the maintenance of this this section. I think with the additional pavement, striping, street lights, as well as two cul-de-sacs they're building in on the north side of Arctic, I think the borough should take over maintenance of that section. We're already maintaining a short little, if you go around by the high school and south and then east, you leave the city, and we're being paid, that quarter mile there is a borough road that we're not being compensated for, but then Hammer that goes to the Palmer-Wasilla, where the state gives us money to maintain that. So I'm going to meet with the borough to propose a kind of a solution to all that, to where they maintain the Arctic Avenue pretty much all the way through. We'll continue to maintain that quarter mile of borough road. And I think that would simplify it. It doesn't make any sense for the city to go up and plow a short section and then have the borough carry on to the west. But anyway, we need to have an agreement with the borough about that. It's a concern too. It needs to be like a priority one piece of road because of the school there. So that's another issue involved with that project. MTA.
So, excuse me. When do you expect to see that agreement in place? Because I mean, basically we're under the agreement that we have now, or at least the way we're operating now, we're picking up Borough Road, right? So sooner rather than later on that, or?
Yeah, I would hope to have it, and if the council needs to approve it, I would hope to have it to the council within, certainly within 60 days. Yeah. Okay, moving on, MTA Event Center. I thought we had the design complete for the project. We got the, we reviewed the 65% plans and made some suggestions, and then got back the 95% plans, and there are several items in the 95% plans that needed to be corrected, which I thought we had communicated some of these issues to the architect, but anyway, so they're revising the drawings on that. Most of the issue there has to do with the existing footings that I guess the city actually put in just outside the entry doors, anticipating a certain design of a canopy. Well, this is a different design of a canopy, so the existing footings don't really work. So they had to redo their design somewhat. What we're looking for on this project at this point is the new canopy and entryway improvements, new doors. Also, we were looking at an elevator. At this point, the elevator is not going to be in this next phase. The elevator is a pretty expensive item. It's about all in with electrical, and they have to modify some ducting and do some other things. It's close to $100,000. That mezzanine area that it will serve is it's not that it's unusable now, but it's not a place that we need to have accessible right away. My thinking was to leave the elevator off this bid package and complete the emergency generator, the flooring, exterior lighting, and parking lot improvements, in addition to the canopy and doorway improvements, and then see where we are with the budget. And there are some other items that have been mentioned which were on the list of like 24 items the council identified that we might want to move up on that, depending on the funding. So
we're talking about not doing an elevator, so we don't have ADA accessibility to the upper floor, is that right?
Well, installing that elevator would give ADA accessibility to the south mezzanine.
Well, what about the walkway between the two? Are we talking about not doing that too?
Well, that was one of the items on that list of 24 mm-hmm. That was not specifically mentioned in the grant description. Mm-hmm. And so it's in that group of things that is a relatively expensive one. It's $45,000 or $50,000 to build that that walkway between. It just seems to me at this point, without any real use identified for that south mezzanine, that it makes sense to spend upwards of $100,000 to provide access to it when there aren't any activities planned. I guess in the original plan that was intended for additional bleachers and seating up there, in which case I think the accessibility would be necessary. But
so we would not change the ducting up there either?
I think we still need to move that ducting. It's in the way of just about anything you want to do up there. It's a fairly large area, floor area. I think it can be usable for some activities, some additional seating, some other activities. And so I think the moving the ducting, which is another one of the list of 24 that wasn't in the grant, would be something to do, and that would make it more usable. Okay. Boiler replacement project. I think there's a budget amendment resolution up to provide some additional funding for that. I can speak to that at the time, but that's all designed and pretty much ready to bid. But we wanted to make sure there was adequate funding for it. Cobb Street Survey and Design, Downtown Sidewalks, Trailhead Parking. These three projects I've combined into one for the purpose of getting out a request for proposals for engineering services. I thought that they kind of fit in a way. They could fit pretty well under a single contract rather than doing individual contracts for each one of them. We do have that out for proposals, and they are, I think the award is scheduled for May 13th on that, so you'll see that come forward.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. On the Cobb Street, do you think we will need to purchase any land? Do we have enough right-of-way down there? We do. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
I think it's a 60-foot right-of-way, and the street north of Cottonwood, I think it's Cottonwood, it's narrower than it is right here. And we're looking to make that full width, but there would still be enough right-of-way there. I don't see anything that's going to require any right-of-way acquisition. And the idea with that, you know, when we budgeted this year was, I think we budgeted $60,000 to complete a design and geotechnical analysis of the whole thing so that we can, if we do obtain funding for the project, we have the design and information there already.
Your Honor.
Councilmember
Hanson. So the trailhead for Eagle and North Valley Way, that's just the design element of it. City crews are still going to construct that, correct?
Well, yes, we can do that. The design that had been, I guess there was some agreement made with the railroad on a concept plan for that parking lot, which involved putting in a driveway. If you're going west down Eagle towards the Glen Highway right there where the tracks cross, there'd be a driveway cut in there, and then it'd be a parking lot in by the tracks. The railroad has already agreed to that concept. However, looking at it, there's a gas line in there. There's a lot of dirt work that's going to have to happen to make that, to cut down the grade to get into the parking lot. I was looking at it and thinking that a better project would be to right at that north northwestern end of North Valley Way to basically build a parking lane in there for, you know, 100 feet, enough to accommodate four or five cars. And I think that would be more cost effective and kind of more, it would be an easier job.
So is it saying just at the end of Valley Way, right before Eagle,
on the west side, you're just going to put
yes.
in couples? Well, wasn't that where it was originally going to go anyways, the parking lot? I mean,
not that I'm aware of. No, it was a plan to build a parking lot north of Eagle.
I think that was the original plan, and I think it changed to the south side, but I don't know.
Okay, well, what's the plan at this point?
We should
have some public hearings on those things. I bet the residents in that area would be really interested in talking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, I want to move along here. I didn't want to take up a bunch of time. The depot expansion, I'm not sure what the scope of that is, but anyway, there's funds available for work in the depot. We've appropriated funds also for the fire sprinkler in the depot, I'm going to get a bid package for that together here pretty soon, and we're scheduled to do that work in late July and early August. The roof replacement over at Station 3-1 is pretty much complete, although we have a couple of punch list items the contractor has not responded to. And we're also withholding some money pending the results of a Department of Labor investigation in terms of the Davis-Bacon wages for their subcontractor. Stormwater master plan, I keep reminding HDL, who the city entered into an agreement with to do this plan, to to provide a scope of work and fee, and they keep responding that they haven't forgotten, so I'm waiting for that. Wastewater master plan is awaiting, that's appropriated, that's awaiting the outcome of the compliance order by consent discussions with DEC, which they have, don't seem too eager to commence, I guess. I keep calling them up, and they say they're looking at it, and anyway, we'll wait and see what happens there. That also affects the property purchase down there. I think we should wait until we see what the facility plan would be. The rate study, you recall we had the report on that a couple weeks ago, and I'm expecting that to be completed here pretty soon. I think it was April or by May, so we should see Mr. Korn back on that. Treatment plant is pretty much done. I didn't put it on here, but I've been having trouble getting a contractor on the visitor center museum doorway issue. I had a contractor who was recommended by the door supplier to come up with an estimate to do the installation, and it took him, you know, gosh, 2.5 months to get back to me, and then he basically said he was too busy, he couldn't do the work. So I've lost some time on that one. I've now got, I signed a kind of small contract with a contractor today, actually, to install the doors, and so we're going to finally move along on that. Just a couple of miscellaneous items in the kind of equipment category. We've got we've had the newer garbage truck. We've had some issues with that, and the thing's operating. It's working okay, but there are some kind of warranty issues on that thing, and we've finally got the supplier to provide or commit to providing enough expertise from the manufacturer to actually get somebody up here to plug in whatever computers they need. They're relatively minor issues, but we need to get them fixed. We received our 3 utility trucks, and they're working out well. A couple of personnel items. We're going to go out for advertisement again on this maintenance worker position. We've been through it twice already. The first time, the applicant pool wasn't as we'd hoped. The second time around, we had a really good top candidate, but they declined the position because the wage level wasn't adequate. We even offered step 4, and that was not acceptable. So I'm going to put that out again, and we'll hope to fill that position. It's a tough position to find someone qualified in all the job requirements, because it kind of spans from heavy equipment operation all the way down to fixing things in buildings, and so it's it's kind of a broad topic. One final note: I'm also on the borough's wastewater and septic advisory board, and we've been having regular meetings, and there is. We had a meeting today. What's coming along, this issue has sort of been smoldering for a long time, but recently the municipality of Anchorage's manager and the head of the water and wastewater utility visited with the borough manager and mayor, I believe, and told them that in terms of the septage issue, that they believe that EPA is going to approach Anchorage to try and get them to have them move towards upgrading their treatment plant to a secondary treatment, their currently primary treatment. EPA is doing this with these municipalities that still have just primary treatment. And so the municipality basically told the borough that the borough has to start preparing for handling its own septage waste, and this is probably in the 2 to 4 to 5 year time frame, because if Anchorage needs to upgrade its treatment, they're going to cut off the valley's haulers. So this is kind of put a star on on this issue, and it's a very important issue, and so we'll see what comes of it. At this point, from the board's point of view, we've given resolutions to the assembly, and the assembly included funds in its legislative request to purchase property for this. I didn't check to see if, I don't think they received any in the current capital budget. Anyway, just to mention that's an important issue. It's going to come along. So, sorry to take so much time, but if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Anything additional anyone would like to ask any questions or? All right.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you very much. All right, that brings us to this report, City Manager's report.
Thank you.
Pass those down. Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I have my written report. I really don't have much to elaborate beyond that. Just a couple things I want to touch on. What I'm passing out now are a couple of resolutions that were passed actually at the March 3rd meeting of the Board of Economic Development, and I kind of dropped the ball and didn't get those in your packet, but I will make sure, I'll work with the clerk, and if she wants me to put these in the packet for April 22nd meeting, I will do that. But one is one that Mr. Anderson, the chairman of the board, addressed you about, is that we have adopted this format for a work plan. This is resolution 14-003 of the BED resolutions. And then the second one is somewhat apropos to the action you took earlier this evening under the consent agenda with the $1,000 donation to the Palmer Arts Council for the Who Let the Girls Out event. But they just set a target, and it was left blank, but they did approve it at wanting to set aside adequate funds to support these special events like Cash Mob, Who Let the Girls Out, the Palmer Art Walk, sometimes called Second Saturday, excuse me, the Monday Market, Friday Fling, and the Midsummer Garden and Arts Fair, and so forth, Calling Days, Calling Christmas. So that's still a pretty skinny budget. We usually fund those things either out of the city council's contingency or the marketing budget. So I did want to pass on. We did have a meeting last night. Mrs. Combs was there as the ex officio member from this body. We had almost a full attendance. Mr. Lee was out of town and was not able to join us, but we had all the other six members of the BED in attendance. So a good meeting, and I won't really report more on that. I do know that the BED is interested in having regular, like either quarterly or maybe at least semi-annual meetings with the council to report on their progress. The other item, which I did communicate with you electronically, is I think just yesterday, and of course this is still a work in progress, but the Senate Committee substitute for the capital budget, which is Senate Bill 119 this year, was released yesterday. As promised, and as those of us that went down to Juneau in February heard, that the capital budget was going to be pretty tight. So I know the print is small. I passed out two items with regard to this. One is just a page happens to be page 12 out of the bill itself, which has the two Palmer projects listed on it. That's a little. And then in Legislative Finance Division creates a report, and I just added the whole Matsu area, House District 7 through 11. The first Palmer project that got funded, the public safety building repair, is on the bottom of what's page 9. It's the first page of that packet. Carries over to page 10. The other item was the $400,000 for the airport pavement repairs. You can see right below there that Wasilla did get $1.7 million toward their new public library. And at your leisure, you can review the other projects for in the borough and the city of Houston and other projects that were funded. Of course, this is not, I don't think it's even been voted out of the Senate finance yet. It may have gone today, but this needs to pass through the Senate and move over to the House side, which so there could be the opportunity to add additional items when it gets over to the House side before it passes the legislature. So that's a work in progress. Certainly not everything I had hoped for, but I can't say I'm totally shocked because they kept telling us it was going to be a very skimpy, tight capital budget this year. That's really all I have, Madam Mayor, to report. I don't know. I've thought a little bit about whether it might be worth trying to make one more trip to Juneau to do anything, see if we can do anything more. It would have to be done, of course, before next Friday, which is when they're planning on trying to get out. That's Good Friday, the 18th of April. So I don't know if there's some discussion about that. At this point, I think I'm leaning toward not trying to race down there either the end of this week or the beginning of next week. I might talk to Representative Hughes and maybe Representative Stoltz's office to see if they think it might be worth the plane ticket and maybe one night at the hotel to go down there and make one last pitch for some projects when this capital budget gets over into the House. So with that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Your Honor.
Councilmember Freese.
Thank you. On the request for the City of Palmer contribution to the various events that are happening downtown, do you have any idea at all? It seemed like to me we already are above the $7,500 that we give to those events, or at least pretty close to it per year. And if you don't have it, just get it and send it out to us electronically or something. But
I think I prefer, making sure going through the numbers with the finance department and make sure we give you an accurate accounting. It's not all that much. I mean, I think the $7,500 is probably a pretty tight amount. And some of these have gone up. I think generally we've been contributing the $500 range. I know that this last contribution that you approved tonight was a little bit of a bump for the Who Let the Girls Out event, but there was some interesting things that just sparks that Denise Stotts, a member of the BED, did an informal survey of some of the merchants to sort of try to gauge, and it was not scientific, and she kept putting all kinds of disclaimers on it, and it's all sort of subjective, but just to have some of the downtown merchants that responded to her survey about what kind of economic impact these different events have, and it wasn't really dollars, it was sort of a rating system, 1 through 10, and it sort of made the point that the Who Let the Girls Out is right up there with the Colony Days and Colony Christmas and some of the bigger things, and that the Midsummer Garden and Arts Fairs had some impact, and her work, which probably should be presented to you maybe more in a little more formal setting, was kind of interesting. So, but it's sort of what makes the point that these are important events to the city, and that's sort of, it's sort of priming the pump. Us putting some money into it does generate some activity that increases our sales tax revenue and helps kind of put Palmer on the map for these types of events. But I'll get back to you with an exact show count about what we spent last year on the different events.
Your Honor.
Councilor Reese.
Follow up, please. And I was just looking, and I'm not, I guess the discussion is that we're not going to do the state fair, but you take into consideration what we do in the state fair and also on the Friday fling when you consider the Public Works Department putting up, all the barricades and all of that. I don't know. I don't think you probably need to necessarily report back to that because I think we know that, but I was interested in the cash. But it seems like to me that when we figure the employees' times and things like that that we contribute for these. We're well above that.
Oh, Councilman.
Yeah, I have one question. Mine's on the Alaska State Fair.
Okay.
One. So you met with Mr. Phipps, and so they wanted more information on sales tax? Is that correct?
Well, this is interesting. Yeah, we've been working, and we're not there yet. Not where exactly where I want to be, but I think every year we've worked with the fair, and they're generally responsive. You know, again, we could maybe ask that they shake their vendors a little bit harder to make sure they come down here and get their business tax and get their sales tax paid. But it was interesting. Yeah, he came to see me, and I didn't exactly know the purpose of the meeting until he walked in, but he's having the McDowell Group update some work that's done to kind of show the impact of the state fair on Palmer and maybe all of South Central Alaska. I don't know. And so it was kind of interesting that he was coming to us wanting more information. We said, well, by the way, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship here. We could use your help in making sure we're collecting all the sales tax that's due us from all these vendors that breeze into town for 12 days and make, I don't know, a bunch of money on a couple hundred, 300,000, who knows what some of these people pull down, and make sure that we're getting our full due of sales tax before they skedaddle. So it was interesting that he wanted as accurate information as possible from us about the economic impact and benefit, and we're saying, well, we're not sure we're collecting everything that we can give you is very accurate information. Can you help us? So hopefully we can kick this up a notch and maybe get even more help. They've been helpful. Mr. Ritari has been okay, but you know, maybe this is sort of provides us with a different angle to try to get even more cooperation. That they want something from us, that then maybe they can help us to even do a better job of getting all the folks that generate so much money out there. Of course, it's cash. It's hard to audit. It's very challenging to know what's getting through our fingers in terms of sales taxes to the city. But I thought it was an interesting meeting and worth reporting to you about that meeting with Mr. Phipps.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's taken 15 years of me, at least me sitting on this council, for them to come around to realize that maybe we do have a response, both have a responsibility in this. So that's good news.
Councilmember Best.
I don't know if we ever did get support. I thought Brad was going to support Edna's request for the information. I didn't know if we had actually had a support on that. So
the information on?
From the manager on the amount of funds that we generate towards the businesses downtown to be utilized for economic development. He was going to gather the data. But I'd like to second that.
All right. Second by Councilmember Best. Thank you. Madam Clerk.
Thank you. I was just wondering if someone had seconded that, though. Thank you. Unless you want me to do my report now.
Oh, I think that's right. I think we're done with manager's report and we're ready for the clerk's report.
No report this evening. Thank you. Unless there are questions.
All right, very good. I just wanted to make note that on the budgets that's coming out, we do not have any revenue sharing in this year's. It's certainly not what's been discussed that we have revenue sharing. So, of course, that's not finalized, and I haven't looked at that portion of the Senate budget, but I don't believe we have revenue sharing in the Senate budget either. So that is, for the city of Palmer, probably, I think it's around $100,000. I don't know exactly how much we get for revenue sharing, but it's about one position as I remember looking at it. Mr. Griffin?
Well, the total amount, are you talking about a reduction in revenue sharing or just being zeroed out totally? I think...
No, there was nothing in that. There was nothing in the budget earlier this year. There was not going to be revenue sharing now. There may be some coming back, but I certainly... Everything I've seen so far, and when I was in Juneau with a municipal league, there was no revenue sharing.
Well, we receive about $387,000 is what we get from revenue sharing. At the $60 million level, what's funded statewide is $60 million. So that's the amount we get. And the way that that's set up is there's a pool of money that you sort of, money comes out one end and then they replenish it. So that's designed to be sort of a step down approach so that you'd so that communities would have like a 3 years notice that it was being phased out.
No, that's right. They're not funding into the back end of revenue sharing.
Right.
No, you're right about that. But there are they can't dispense it. I believe it's 60 million. If it drops below 60 million, they can't dispense from it. So
okay.
In 3 years, there won't be enough money to, the 3 years will be gone if they don't fund it. So anyway, it's something to make note of. Councilmember Combs.
A little bit note of interest there is it was right around March 19th or 20th. That I can't remember whose newsletter I got it from, but I did get the information that the prior week one of the bodies, and then that week the other body, so I don't quite get the House and the Senate backwards, but that they had agreed to reduce the revenue sharing, municipal revenue sharing, by 10 million. Yeah, because I remember discussing it with the city manager at the Rotary Club meeting then that day, and also Anchorage Mayor Sullivan. So there could be a reduction in the amount, but I haven't seen anything that says that we would not get anything at all. So that will certainly affect us, but it'll affect absolutely every city across the state.
So, I mean, we need to keep our eye on that and keep that awareness in the when we're doing our budgeting, because it is, if it continues to not be funded, it will decrease over 3 years to where we have no revenue. We won't have that money coming in. I did spoken with Senator Dunleavy over the last couple weeks, but nothing particular there, although I think that we should be thankful to his office for putting in what we do have in the Senate budget, because I know that came directly from him, from his work. PERS is still an issue that is a big deal for us. If they aren't, the funding on PERS, we can go on and on about that, but this is just that declining revenue that we don't have access to this year, and looks like it's not going up, that's for sure. So we had the Choose Respect March here the same day that Alaska Shield was taking place for us. General Katkus came and spoke, and we had a great turnout as usual. I believe that Palmer had the largest group of people in the march of anywhere in Alaska. So it was a great, great day, and we had some of the great weather that we've been enjoying for the Choose Respect Month. So it's always appreciate that day, and the Alaska Shield operation was well done too, and definitely made me think about what could possibly happen if we lost our access. Say the interchange goes out and something happens, Palmer is kind of cut off. So there were definitely some things that came to my attention that I wouldn't have thought about before. So anyway, that concludes my mayor's report, and that brings us to the city attorney's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Nothing this evening.
All right, very good. That concludes our reports and brings us to the first opportunity for audience participation, a time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Seeing no one come forward, audience participation is now closed. And that brings us to our new item H1, which is moved from Unfinished business, city manager search, J1. So I guess I would like to request, trying to think how we want to really approach this. I guess we had two candidates that we had kind of talked about in a more serious way. It sounds like we have one candidate that did not accept in the process of the negotiations. So the question here is how we would like to go forward. Do we want to begin negotiations with the second candidate, or do we want to go back and look at any of those people, have any new questions or so on? Mr. Getty, do you want to give us just a little bit of a kind of a process overview on this?
Madam Mayor, members of the council, certainly I can make a couple of suggestions. Of course, the decision is up to the council as how best you'd like to proceed. Some of the things that potentially you could do would be to re-interview some of the candidates, take another look at them, select someone from the pool of candidates remaining, re-advertise the position, and there may be some other things council thinks about as to what they may like to do. The other issue that I think is important is on May 1st, your current manager's contract will expire, and probably some consideration as to what you'd like to do with respect to that. I haven't spoken to Mr. Griffin about that particular issue. It's really a matter between he and the council, but I think it's just something I wanted to mention on the table so that you would have some thought going into that consideration. And those are kind of the suggestions that I would submit to you respectfully this evening as to a path forward with respect to this very important matter for the city of Palmer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. One suggestion I think that I might have is that we negotiate potentially a one-year offer with Joseph Hannon for the position of city manager, and we offer in the mid-range of what he had stated in the executive session, plus we could add moving expenses instead of $5,000, say $10,000, because we would be negotiating a one-year offer, which would allow him for moving up, and if it didn't work out, moving back down, plus medical, and then further negotiation to be had at an April 15th special meeting with the city council. That's just a suggestion. It's not a motion. I think our other option is to re-interview or have at least phone interviews again with Mr. Hannon and Hahn, which I think were the top two behind what our initial offer candidate was.
Just out of curiosity, just what was your thought on the 1 year?
Well, both of the out-of-state candidates were very strong, but I believe truly we don't know how they will fit within the Alaska atmosphere, the going down to Juneau, whether they'll pick up as quickly as we hope to many of the things. And what I'm thinking here is that if we offer a 1 year and then double up on the moving expenses, that makes it a little more palatable. But then they get to see what we're about and we get to see what they're about. And I'm not against even it being a 2 year with a 1 year, you know, on the first, and we can renew it after, you know, for a second year.
Councilor Irby.
I just have a question. I mean, would it be appropriate to be discussing such details in an open meeting like this, or should this be more for an executive session? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that's a good question. I guess what I'm wondering is the sense that we might do a talk about the process of how we want to go about it, as far as do we want to go with what we've already talked about, or do we want to go back and do something different. I think that that's appropriate to talk about in open session, but Mr. Yabby, do you want to make comment on that?
Well, I think that judicious discussion of what you'd like to do might be appropriate in a public session if you want to get into the more nitty-gritty character, those sorts of things, then executive session would be more appropriate, and maybe schedule something quickly on a special meeting. I know this is an important matter, so we'd want to move expeditiously, at least that would be a suggestion. But I think it would be really important to develop a process, and maybe we need another meeting at some point to talk more detail about the character and reputational aspects of the candidates.
I would like to, I just want to start with one question. We has narrowed down the candidates to two, and we have seemed to be at the not negotiating, and have now one candidate left of the two. Do we want to follow up by just beginning negotiations with the second candidate, or do we want to go back and put them into a pool and essentially start over, or go more in depth? Because it would be it's easy to say, okay, we had candidate A, we had candidate B, and so we're now going to be negotiating with candidate B. If we don't want to do that, then we have a little more lengthy, probably, process before us. So I guess I'd like to hear the discussion of the council on whether they would like to begin negotiations with candidate B, following the A and B candidates that we had, or do we want to go through a more lengthy process?
Yeah, again, I don't recall officially narrowing it down to two candidates. I thought that was discussed during executive session. And then the official word out of that executive session was that we would instruct the attorney and the clerk to negotiate with Mr. Cook. And that was the decision that the council came to. I don't recall ever ranking any of the other candidates as to these two are in and the rest are out, or anything like that. You know, like I said, that's why I feel this should be in an executive session. For a process, I think that we need to decide on a date for a special meeting or an executive session.
Okay. And I apologize. I don't know what exactly was, how it exactly stated out of executive session. Yeah, I wasn't there, but I'm not specific to the names, but I did, you know, I was thinking that that we had picked two people, but if not, then we can certainly go back to the regular or a special meeting and do that as soon as we can schedule that and have an executive session on it. Madam Clerk.
If we do have an executive session, I will need to notice certain persons that we're having the executive session, and they may be the topic of the executive session. So I will need to know who the council would like to discuss.
And I guess that my thought on that, then we would just say that all the persons, all the remaining candidates, yes. Councilor Hansen.
Yeah. Well, I agree with Mr. Irby on this. I think that, we need to vet for our own purposes the remaining candidates. You know, I think at the time we were focused on the one, and unfortunately that didn't work out. However, I'm not candidate B here at this point. So we do need to have a session. And I'm not so sure about the names, because I'm willing to eliminate one.
What's that?
I'm willing to eliminate some. So.
Okay. Councilor Combs.
I have to agree with Councilmember Irby, and I would use, personally, I would urge us to use the phrase that the candidates who have been interviewed, and not use names at this point in time. I think that's the whole purpose, is something could even just be inferred with an inflection or whatever in using an individual's name, and we don't want that to happen. This is unfortunate. This is the way it is. We had five excellent candidates, period. We need to go back to the drawing board. We need to do an executive session. We need to come up with both our process and the candidates and the negotiation process and go forward. And that's just the way I feel about it.
Councilmember Dries.
Thank you. I like this side of the table, agree with Councilman Irby also. My only question to the attorney and the clerk is, if there was someone else, and or if they, including the current city manager and current somebody, you know, man off the street or whatever, if we wanted to discuss those in the executive session, how could we address that? Would we, do the names have to be advertised for the executive session? Or do they just have to be notified that they are going to be the subject of an executive session?
Madam Mayor, Councilmember DeVries, typically you give someone who's going to be the subject of an executive session, with some limited exceptions to that, depending on the purpose, notice that they would be discussed, and then they have the opportunity to request a public discussion, in which case that's what you would do. So I think if you wanted to speak about the current city manager, certainly you could give the city manager notice and indicate that he might be the topic of an executive session and see what his position is on whether to have that in the executive session or public. With respect to the just anybody from off the street, I'm not sure exactly how that would work in the context of the applicant process for city manager, because you have a pool of candidates. If someone hasn't put the paperwork together, I would submit to you that they haven't met the deadline for applying, unless you were to reopen it. Ms. Williams is out there. She can help me out. She was actually the one that put the process together to advertise and so on. But I think that would be my supposition with respect to people outside of the applicants that submitted the paperwork to be considered. Alice is nodding, so she agrees.
Can I do follow-up?
Councilmember Reeves.
Thank you. And to be honest with you, I didn't fully read all of the other candidates. You know, we had that big, thick book. I read the things on the ones that the committee came forward with, and I looked at the names of the other people. But I guess the big black book has gone into the clerk's office someplace. So I guess I would like to have the opportunity to have that sent back to me also to look and see. And I don't know, maybe the rest of the council has already looked at all of those names and they've 100% agree with what the committee came up with, but or maybe none of them want to go back into that. But that's another question that I have regarding, restricting ourselves, I guess. And I don't want to cross hairs with the attorney and or the HR person, but this person, whoever we hire, is the contract between the city and, you know, Joe Smith, whoever it is. Do we have to, as a council, have to advertise, or can we decide on just Joe Smith?
Mr. Getty.
Madam Mayor, I think people that have submitted an application are open to your wanting to interview them. The council controls that. You did have the committee that reviewed those for you and made the recommendation for the individuals that were presented to you. But certainly, I defer to Ms. Williams, because I wasn't involved in the detail of the process in the committee. But it would seem to me that if you wanted to look at another candidate, certainly that would be available to you. I believe that would be correct.
Okay.
And I guess, so what I'm thinking then, well, I mean, my thought is I guess if anyone wants to bring forward a name for consideration for the night that we're going to be discussing this, that they could give that name to the clerk, perhaps, and we can add that resume and the application to the pile, so we have things noticed. I that's how we have to do it, right? We can't just start bringing people into the discussion unless that's been noticed. I mean, that's perfectly fine, unless we want to notice that everybody might be discussed, I suppose, but it starts getting a little long.
And I have to send the notice to the paper tomorrow morning. Just a heads up, the notice to the paper is tomorrow morning. So,
Madam Mayor.
This is Councilor Best.
And I appreciate that everybody is wanting to make sure that we don't state somebody's name without them being aware of it or anything, but just a little reminder, this and all the notes that you took are now public records. So everybody's name that made the top five, their name is already out there. Everybody already knows that they've interviewed here for a job. So it's not, you know, by me even stating those names earlier on this evening, that's nothing new. It's all public record. I was just merely saying that let's go forward because two of the candidates are currently interviewing with other municipalities throughout the city, throughout the state. So our window might be closing on those individuals. If we just want to start the whole process over, well, then I think that's something that this body needs to discuss. But
Councilmember Carrington.
I guess I would concur with Councilman Best. In my own personal opinion, I tended to like the ones that had existing city manager experience. I guess I would like to see us, you know, set a date for a special meeting with an executive session, and it, you know, at this point, just to say for reviewing the interviewees. But do we have a date that we're looking at?
Next Tuesday, April 15th. And may I ask? Discussing the interviewees were the ones that were from April 1st and April 3rd. Is that what you meant?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. Is that as soon as we can have a special meeting with the adequate notices?
It has to be advertised in the paper 3 days in advance, and that's the soonest that I could get. I mean, maybe Monday, but it has to be in the paper, and the paper has to process it too, so yes. I mean, Monday might be the soonest, but that'd be it.
Okay, so what would we be doing on the April 15th, Madam Clerk, as stands right now?
I don't know. There was total consensus on that, so maybe you can boil it down.
Well, my understanding was we would be discussing the four candidates that we had still, that we'd already interviewed. But then there was some discussion that maybe we should make it open to bring in other candidates. So I guess, Councilman DeVries, did you have some further thoughts on that?
Thank you, Your Honor. I honestly can't remember all of the names that were the other, whatever they were, 27 people or something that was on that list. And, you know, I guess I'm not close to the idea of, you know, going back to the drawing board either. So that's why I was saying that maybe we will want to discuss some people there. But if we have to have names, then that's the attorney's opinion, we have to have names.
Yes, and I have to be able to notice them. I have to send them notice.
I understand that part, but do all of the names have to be in the ad in the newspaper?
I'll let you decide. Mr. Gabby.
I think that's sufficient notice that there'd be executive session to discuss the city manager candidates that were involved is probably sufficient. I always like to exercise caution, and so I think we like to, I don't remember what we did last time.
We listed all the names.
Yeah, if that's been our process, I'd say we should stick with that.
Councilor Best.
I have a thought. At this meeting, would it be an opportunity for us to potentially interview any of these candidates via the phone for any additional questions? I mean, would that be acceptable to council as well? With the option that we could also at that, you know, bring up an additional candidate that we might want to have another meeting for if one really steps out, you know, to you or something.
Madam Clerk?
That can be done. It's how the agenda is structured, so certainly that can be done. And in speaking with Ms. Williams today, a second interview is, I don't want to say more loose because she wouldn't agree with me about that, but you have more, it's more liberal that you can ask, you don't have to ask each person the same question. It's just, yes. Madam Mayor, could I just add, that would be if it was the, thank you, that would be if it was the same person, not if you're doing a new person. If you're doing a new person, it has to be the original questions. Okay.
All right, so,
I'm sorry,
Councilmember Combs.
Instead of going around in circles anymore, do you need a motion to get this started? Because I would like to move that we set a meeting for April 15th that states that this body will be entering executive session, possibly talking about personal matters, etc., in regards to the candidates for the city manager search. If you need to name the names, please use the names that you used before.
Mr. Gary?
Madam Mayor, friendly suggestion.
I was just as a point of order here. I mean, this is, we just had a motion made. Do we need, I might get that seconded, or do you
second.
Want to make, okay, we have that made and seconded. Okay, Mr. Getty.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. As a suggestion, this would be a regular meeting, and if you wanted to interview or ask continue interviews, you'd want to make sure the meeting reflects that as well. It would be, I'm sorry, if I said regular, I misspoke, a special meeting, and it would include an executive session, but also potential candidate interviews.
Any further discussion on the motion? Would you like to just state the motion so we can vote on it?
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. To schedule a special meeting for April 15th to include on the agenda that the council will enter into an executive session regarding the candidates, the original candidates that were interviewed. I'll state that better on the agenda for the city manager search.
And the names will be listed.
Yes, yeah. The names will be listed on the agenda.
All right, very good. Further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say no. All right, very good. We have a motion to have a special meeting on April 15th.